Sports Radio 90 Time the Game from the Northern Kia Studios, 1 o'clock hour. Braves today. Hell of a pitching matchup. Max Fried against Paul Skeens. But you could tell, some guys are, you know, in college, like, you know, when Paul Skeens was at LSU, you knew, you just watched him, you saw, okay, he's going, like, straight to the majors. It was, the Braves have had a couple of those. A couple of those guys have got, Bob Horner, straight to the majors. And, you know, you know, there's no pass and go here. Let's just, I mean, I know Skeens went into the minors, but, I mean, he was going to be, you know, there was no doubt that he was coming up quick. And coming up fast, and then, you know, the Braves are doing the same with some of their young pitchers. Thurston Waldrop, you know, Owen Murphy may make an appearance here by the end of the year. Spencer Schwellenbach, I mean, the Braves, there's no reason to hold these guys back anymore. I mean, this whole thing about, you know, drafting a guy in baseball and, well, you got to go to single A for a year and double A for a year and triple A for a year, and they're like, yeah, nah, none of that. Let's just, you can either play or you can't. Here, we're going to push you in the pool, go swim. And with Skeens, it was like, well, we're going to push him in the pool, and he's just going to, you're going to throw people out of the pool because he's that good. I mean, you could just tell. Pittsburgh enjoy him because dude's going to hit free agency in a few years, and when he does, dude is going to be gone. Yeah, all right, let's go to Ty. Hey, Ty, welcome to the show. Ty?
Hello? Hello? Yep. Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can. Yeah.
Okay.
Hear me now.
Hey, I know you're a homer, and I appreciate you. You know, on your morning show, when you did the morning show, I know you support Atlanta. You know, from the Thrashers when we had the Thrashers to, you just talked about the Braves and all that stuff. But we all know professional sports. The motto is always, "What have you done for me lately?" You know what I'm saying? And whatever happened 2 or 3 years ago with Trey Young in New York, that's all fine. But the ticket prices keep going up. And people want to know if this team is going to get better. And you had a few calls. You had a few callers, you know, a few minutes ago. And one guy was right about Trey Young. At this point, he's a poor fit. It's not working out for the current coach. I mean, Quinn Snyder is what? He's won like 47, 57. With Trae Young being the coach. So, you know, is it the coach's fault or is it Trae Young's fault? Is it the system? But sooner or later, John, I'm not going to hold you up, but sooner or later, we got to make a decision on Trae Young because we're getting younger. We got draft picks. And why not just blow it up, start over, and go ahead and get something for Trae before he gets hurt? You know, maybe get something before the season starts. Because at this point, this is not working with Trey. I mean, they didn't even vote him to all NBA. He much less making an all-star team, you know? So it's good what he did 2 or 3 years ago, but let's worry about currently what's going on now and what, how good is he going to be the next 2 or 3 years? Are we wasting his talent? Should we just let him go? You know,
I'm trying to kind of grab because you started it, you know, kind of with, you know,
right.
I mean,
I
don't really know where. I mean, you and I totally agree. So, I mean, right. I don't.
I'm just saying you're just harping a lot on what happened 2 or 3 years ago. And
no, I said no. But Ty.
Yeah.
I said 2 or 3 years ago, it was, yeah, obviously, you know, farther back than
that. Right. Okay. Well,
game team Trey. I will always be team Trey. All right, Ty, hang on. Slow down.
Okay.
In the course of the show today, I think I've been pretty clear that I've said, if they're going to trade Trey, I'm good with that and reset the team. In the course of the show today, I have said that this club is trying to do what I'm afraid they're trying to do, is to win and rebuild at the same time, which is what the Falcons went through, and I was not happy about that. It's because I don't want to go through that, because it never works.
Right.
So I'm saying push all in on winning now or push all in on rebuilding now. That's all. I've said this, I think, pretty clearly over the last 3 hours.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to hold you up. You have a fantastic show. I miss you in the morning. But I will say
that
Trae Young is absolutely – Trae Young has been through Nate McMillan, who's he's had the most successful. I think Nate McMillan has 99, 100 wins with Trae. And then, you know, like I said, the current coaching scheme, or, you know, like I said, the question is Trae filling the current coach right now, or is the system not fit for him? And that's something we got to, like I said, we got to figure that out. You know, if not, then
here's something to look for, Ty.
Yes, sir.
Here's something to look for. Quinn Snyder comes here as the head coach. He inherits the team. He inherits DeJounte, okay? And so now he has a chance to coach Trae Young without DeJounte on the team.
Sure.
This will be interesting to see how he uses Trae now, because it may be slightly different.
Okay. Well, I want to say
that'll
this.
That'll be interesting.
It will be. But I'm not going to hold you up. I know you got some other callers, but I think we're wasting Trae's wonder years if we get to the playoffs or we get to another play-in like we did 2 years ago, and we don't make any progress. You know what I'm saying?
What I've been saying here again throughout the show today, right. Ty. I said, what are you doing here? Are you telling me that you're using Trae Young for the next couple of years as somebody who's going to make these young players around him, his job is to make them better? Because that's not where I'm at. His job is to win an NBA world title, not to make other players better. He's not a coach on the floor. I mean, that's not what he's supposed to be. But also, and I appreciate it, Ty, I do have other callers here. Let's go to Ace here. And as we bring Ace in, remember, one of the reasons, you know, that all of you who want Trae to go, which is fine. I have no problem if you want Trae to go, is that they may be having a hard time moving him, not because Trae sucks, but because other teams know that you have to move him or want to move him, and so they're not offering what you want in return. And it's a case where you're not just going to give him up for nothing, right? Right? I mean, okay. Ace, welcome to the show.
Hey, John. Great show. I just want to say this, and I think that Trae Young, days are numbered. He's had his chances. I don't think we are a championship caliber team with Trae. I think we should have kept Murray and traded Trae. And I also think that Quinn Snyder is not a good coach for Atlanta. He hasn't done anything since he's been in the NBA. I mean, he had Utah, they were number one seed. They got swept in the first round. They got knocked out of the first round the next year. And he had Mitchell. He had the center for Minnesota. So what has he done? I don't blame everything on Trae, but I just don't think Trae can give us what we need to win a championship. He's a great player. He puts up numbers. To me, he's like the Matt Ryan of the Hawks. He's going to put up numbers, but can he win the big one? Can he bring home that trophy? And I don't think he can.
Well, I mean, Matt Ryan got you to 28-3. That was not Matt Ryan's issue. I mean, my God.
Well, what about at the goal line?
I mean,
with San Francisco?
Again, he got you to 28-3. That was not his issue. Trae got you to the Eastern Conference Finals that they might win if he doesn't step on an official's foot, correct? I mean, so he took you deeper into the Eastern Conference Finals than you've ever been before. So,
no,
I mean,
Joe Johnson did.
You got good, huh?
Joe Johnson and the Hawks. Boston, yeah. Remember that series?
Yeah, he took you to Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals, right? I mean, so they've been to the Eastern Conference Finals. He got you to Game 6. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Quinn Snyder. I'm not offering a defense. I'm just saying, you know, I don't think they're ready to give up on it, but what I find interesting, see, everybody gets caught up in what he did and didn't do. Or I'm talking about right now today, 1:10 in the afternoon on the 29th of June. Where are we going with this? Because we've made moves to bring in four new faces, all of whom are young players. That does not scream to me we're going all in on trying to win an NBA world title. And if we're not, then where are we going with this?
I agree with you totally. But again, whatever you can get for Trae, I would take it and just blow this thing up.
You
and
can't
just
say that, though. I mean, what are you going to take? You're going to take a second round pick in 2028 and call it good?
I mean, hey, what are we going to do? Keep playing for the play-in tournament?
Well,
is that okay?
I mean, yeah, I guess. I mean, because you're not just going to take a second round pick at 2028. I mean, come on. I mean, you're not just going to give them away for nothing. Hey, just take it.
But listen, John, I just think with this organization, I think they're more concerned with marketing and selling tickets rather than winning a championship. And that shows by the moves that they've made, because if you're looking at basketball and you look at the Boston Celtics and what they just done, and you look at the defensive players they have, the taller guards they have, Trae Young is a liability on defense. So why would you keep Trae Young instead of keeping Murray? When we swept Boston,
well, because
season,
Murray's much more tradable. He's $30 million. He's $15 million less than Trae Young. Other teams value him more. I mean, you're trading from a value standpoint here. NBA trades are difficult. You have to match contracts, things of that nature. So, I mean, Murray becomes a more easily tradable piece than Trae does. Trae becomes a very difficult piece to trade because of his contract, and so he's got 3 years left on that.
And so nobody's known to take it. So we might as well just ride this wave out for 3 years and see what it gives us.
Well, I mean, you got a better idea. I'll take it. I appreciate the call, Ace. I know. Let's go. One more here. DSGB. Got a Georgia boy here.
Hello.
Hey, DS, what up?
Hey, how you doing? Hey, John. Good, man. Thanks for bringing me on the show. John, just, you know, the thing about Trae, man, I know everybody's, big on the Murray thing. You know, we should have kept Murray and all that, but it wasn't working. You know, let's just admit it wasn't working at all. And the thing is with Trae, if you look at it from the beginning, you put role players around Trae. You didn't have any stars. You had a lot of guys that were role players that knew their job. And that's what got us to all the way, you know, to that round against Milwaukee. But after that, you broke it up and you want to start bringing in stars that wasn't role players. And that wasn't Trae. Trae wants to be the man. Let's just give it. Come on. Let's just tell it how it is. He wants to be the man, and you got to put people around him. When they double-teaming him, you got to put people around him that he can throw the ball out to. And this pick that we got at number one, I like this guy. You know, he's going to be a difference maker. He's definitely going to be a difference maker. And then you got to look at bringing in maybe another shooter, another center, another power forward, and we're good. And I think we can be able to make a run in the East. I don't know how far we'll get, but I don't think we need to bring in no more stars. They just save the money for the right moment. And just, you know, deal with the role players that we can get in that can help Trae. And that's what we're going to have to do. And that's all I wanted to say, John.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. No, I think there are a lot of different things. Look, when they tip off at the beginning of the year, Trae or no Trae, whatever, Zach Attack or whatever we're going to be doing here next year, I'll be all in and supporting them, and I hope they go a long way. I'm just kind of trying to figure out today, and I appreciate the call, where we're going with this. That's all. I'm just trying to figure out where we're going with this. I know where we're going with the Falcons. I know where we're going with the Braves. United's going to have to – that's another team I have no idea where – Garth is going to have to come out and say, okay. All right, and walk me through where we're going here. So the fact that the Hawks have not come out and said basically, you know, kind of, you know, done the – if you've ever been to a casino with a blackjack dealer, and when they're done and they're changing dealers out, the blackjack dealers will – they'll clap their hands, and then they'll rub their hands together and open them up to show you that they have nothing in their hands so that they're – you know, it's just showing the camera that they're not doing anything wrong here or illegal. And basically that's where I'm at. You know, I mean, do this, that you're done with this, because I don't expect anything in free agency. I think we might be looking pretty much at the final roster right now. All right, that's where we're headed. Sports Radio 90 Time the Game. Northern Kia Studios on a Saturday afternoon. Back tomorrow, 10 to 2. A lot of discussion tomorrow about the Braves, because today is game 81, so halfway point of the season at Truist Park today with a freed against Skeens for the Braves and the Pirates. And then tomorrow morning on Sunday at 11:30 a.m. first pitch. You heard right, 11:30 in the morning is first pitch tomorrow. No, it's not a day-night doubleheader. It's a Roku game. So it's breakfast at the ballpark. 11:30 a.m. first pitch, Braves and Pirates tomorrow morning. Odd, strange. So, Noelle, are you going to go to a breakfast at the ballpark? Are you going to do that one?
No, I'll be asleep, John.
No, you see, she's asleep. She's asleep. 11:30. Yeah, no, because Noelle works all hours of the day and dieting. And matter of fact, she does. So do we get our computer issues fixed or no? Oh, okay, good. We got baseball going on. We had a wonderful chat today about the Hawks. I know the Turtle will have more on the Hawks coming up at 2 o'clock this afternoon, and he'll have his thoughts about where the Hawks are, and we'll get all into that with Turtle at 2 o'clock today. Again, tomorrow, 10 to 2. It is 8 weeks today for you Swampers, that's 56 days. For you, it's also 2 months. 2 months. 2 months to the day. 8 weeks to the day, Florida State, Georgia Tech. Okay? So being 2 months out, 2 months since the 2 month countdown starts, that's what college football. Okay. So I call Phil Steele and I say, hey, Phil, old friend Phil, I've known Phil forever. So I said, Phil, come on and talk to me about it because the book is out. Tell me about the magazine. Talk to me about some of these things. And we had a long conversation, and we're going to play it for you. If you missed it earlier in the show, if you're a college football fan, you need to hear it. Here's my conversation earlier in the show, about 3 hours ago, with Phil Steele. I welcome in my old friend, Phil Steele, and I have actually never met in person, which is weird because I've been talking to him for 30 years. I think 30 years, Phil, something like that.
Yeah, how you doing? Yeah, 30 years, John, and never met in person. It is remarkable. But how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to have you on here, and I know that that I was explaining earlier in the program that when your book comes out and people say, why don't you just use Google? Why don't you just, you know, you can use, you know, this site and that site, because it doesn't have Phil's insights. And that's why it's always so important to us, because I don't know how your brain works, Phil, but I do know that it works properly and functions incredibly well when it comes to college football. And you have this tremendous ability to be insightful in being able to do all this. But Phil, I don't think some fans understand the amount of work that you put in, because I read the amount of work. I've talked to you about the amount of work. How much work, and we're not talking about your staff. We're talking about Phil Steele. Do you put in this magazine every year?
Yeah, it's about 7 months worth, John. You know, it starts the Sunday after Thanksgiving, when some team seasons are complete. I read through every article that was written about that team for the entire season. Some of those stacks are like 300 pages, but it really gets you in all the nuances of what happened during the course of the year, the ins and outs of each position. It really gets you up to it, and that's when I do the first write-through of the magazine. Then the second write-through with this transfer portal is after the rosters have changed. You know, I'll go ahead and tweak it, but then the third and most important write-through is after talking to the head coaches, and this year I talked to over 120 of the 134 head coaches, and it usually takes about an hour. We go over every player on the team, offense, defense, how they feel about each position, and then I finally go finish the final right through the magazine, update all my power ratings, and put this thing out. But 7 months, I'm just on a magazine deadline the whole time.
All right, so it's out now and available across the country at philsteele.com, Phil, S-T-E-E-L-E, philsteele.com, and, of course, at bookstores across the country, and we'll get into the magazine in just a moment. You mentioned the portal. How much more difficult is your job now in the portal era?
Yeah, it has is definitely changed, John. You know, it used to be we could go to the press maybe the last week of May or the second last week of May. All the rosters would be complete. Now the transfer portal closed on April 30th, and thank goodness it closed on April 30th. We waited until June 7th to go to the press, because we not only had to capture who was entering the portal, but where they were landing. And so we gave it 5 weeks. I think we've captured probably 98% of the people that are going to land. If anybody signs now, they're either insignificant or probably won't have that big of an impact. And there aren't that many people left out there worth signing. So going to the press June 7th makes it a lot more difficult. I had coaches, John, texting me 2 days before the magazine went to the press. Hey, we just got this guy. Hey, we just got this guy. But we were able to update all the pages, and it makes it a heck of a lot tougher.
All right, so Phil Steele is the leading expert on college football. It is my pleasure to have him on 92.9 The Game here. So I got a lot of questions. I'm just going to kind of rip through a few of them and get your thoughts here. Which has more of an impact on the eventual national champion this year, in your opinion? The massive conference realignment that we're about to face, and, you know, the conference changes to the conference championship games without divisions, or this new 12-team playoff?
I am actually going to go with the conference realignment. I think it's going to make it tougher for the Big Ten, the SEC. I mean, you know, now you're looking at 16, 18. I do think when we finally get down to the final four teams, it'll probably be close to the final four teams that we could have expected with the 12-team playoff. Yes, we'll have some new blood in there. Yes, we'll have some interesting games early on, a lot of fun games to watch. But I actually think the conference realignment will have a bigger impact.
You know, you mentioned it because you sort of hit on it just a little bit quickly about 16-17. Phil, are we seeing the end of the era of unbeaten teams? Is 16-0 an unreasonable expectation?
You know, I think this year we probably will not have an unbeaten team. I just went through and today, John, I actually just finished going through every single game for the upcoming season, picking who I have favored, who I have an underdog. And you take a look at the top two teams in the country this year, Georgia and Ohio State. Georgia has to play Alabama on the road. They have to play Texas on the road. They have to play Ole Miss on the road. And they, of course, play Clemson in the opener. And with Ohio State, they got to play Oregon on the road. They have to play Penn State on the road. They, of course, have Michigan in the season final. I think you'll see all the top teams have at least one loss this year.
Yeah, it is going to be plus, you know, right. I think we added it up. Georgia's got to play, go 8-0 in true road game or neutral road games against, you know, some of the 8-0. I mean, because now you're putting all the playoff games in, too, the SEC title game and three playoff games in. You know, they could face Alabama three times. They could face Texas. Phil, we could have Georgia against Texas three times.
Wow. That would be unusual, wouldn't it, John? Probably the first time that's happened, huh?
Yeah, no kidding. I don't know. It's never happened. It was so rare that teams would meet twice. You know,
right.
And then we had, a rematch in a bowl game, Nebraska-Oklahoma or Florida-Florida State, and we were like, well, what? Is it a rematch? They've already played. No. Now you're looking at the potential of three, regular season. And for Georgia, against, let's just say, Texas here, Georgia would have to play at Texas. They would have to play them the second time in Atlanta, neutral site, and they would have to play them third time, in a bowl game or back in Atlanta in the title game in a neutral site. They would play Texas three times, none of which would be in Athens.
Yeah, and you take a look at the two teams' rosters, John, there's not that big of a difference. Texas is loaded, and it's tough to beat any opponent two times in 1 year. Wow, beating the same team three times in 1 year would be ridiculous.
Let's talk. Phil Steele's joining us on the WayForward.com hotline, talking college football again. Phil Steele's college football preview is out at bookstores across the country. Well, all right, just real quick here, what stores?
It's exclusively at Barnes & Noble and Books A Million. So don't waste your gas driving around looking at all the other places. Barnes & Noble, Books A Million are the only two locations.
And, of course, PhilSteele.com, S-T-E-L-E, PhilSteele.com. Want to talk to you about coaches because, you know, there's so many new things. You know, obviously, new coaches happen every year. We have 12-team playoff. We have the conference realignments. But we have new coaches, not just kind of normal new coaches. It's not a normal new coach year. It's not a normal new coach year when you're talking about Nick Saban and Jim Harbaugh being gone, the defending national champion and the god of college football, replaced by Kalen DeBoer and Sharon Moore, who was elevated at Michigan. Which of those programs is going to, the fan base is going to have to accept the fact that their guy, their Michigan guy, their god, their football god, that guy is now, the statue is, they're not there anymore, and that there might be a tick back that you have to accept?
You know, this year I think it's actually going to be Michigan more than Alabama. As much as replacing a legend like Nick Saban is for Kalen DeBoer, I think Kalen DeBoer is capable of handling it. And, in fact, I think if you look at his roster this year, John, it's probably better than his Washington roster that he had last year. And so I think when you take a look at Alabama, they're not going to take that big of a step back. Now, with Michigan, you've got question marks. It's a very young team overall. Question marks at quarterback, tough schedule. They got to play Oregon at home. They have to play USC at home. They play Texas at home. They have to play Ohio State on the road. I think you might be looking at two, three, perhaps even four losses for Michigan. So I think Alabama comes out better in the coaching exchange because of the talent they have and the fact that Kalen DeBoer is a very outstanding head coach. I mean, he took a Washington team that's, like I said, less talented than this year's Alabama team to the championship game last year.
Well, we're talking with Phil Steele. We're talking about college football. If you look at kind of the other group, I'm going to ask you to kind of pick one or two that you want to expound on here. And now, DeBoer at Alabama and Sharon Moore at Michigan are certainly the two biggest coaching changes, but there are others. Mike Elko goes from Duke to Texas A&M. Deshaun Foster elevated at UCLA. Bill O'Brien back in the college game as a head coach at BC. Here in town, Del McGee goes from Georgia to Georgia State. Jed Fish did a great job at Arizona. He's now at UW replacing DeBoer. Jonathan Smith leaves Oregon State to go to Michigan State. Bronco Mendenhall is back in the game at New Mexico, Kurt Cignetti in Indiana. There's a whole bunch of them. Is there one or two on that kind of list here that you looked at and said, this guy is going to have an immediate and dramatic impact on his program?
Yeah, I think there's probably two of them that out of the ones you mentioned. I think the majority of the ones you mentioned probably going to go through a rebuilding year this year. But let's look at Indiana. Kurt Cignetti has never had a losing season as a head coach, and he comes in here highly confident. I remember last year talking to him, and he said, Phil, I've had an all-conference quarterback every year. I don't care about a quarterback situation. Boom, he's got an all-conference quarterback once again. This year they basically have 21 returning starters. They've got a much more palatable schedule. I remember in the past they played in the Big Ten East and had that tough schedule. Well, they do play Ohio State and Michigan, but they avoid Penn State. They avoid a lot of the big boys in the Big Ten this year. And when you look at their schedule, I think Indiana, which is, by the way, one of my most improved teams in the country, not only gets to a bowl game, but has a shot at 7-8 wins coming off a 3-win loss season. They brought in a lot of transfers coming over from James Madison. This is a much different team. And you look at their quarterback, Curtis Rourke. He's a guy that was all MAC a couple of years at Miami of Ohio. So look for Indiana and Kurt Cignetti, a big success. And then keep your eyes on Mike Elko at Texas A&M. He took over Duke. And that first year, when he took over Duke, I'm like, okay, they'll probably win 2-3 games this year. They did not. They had a huge year. They were great again last year. And he's got a lot of talent on hand. Some of the Aggies hit the portal, but he's brought in some talent. They had a lot of talent there with all those great recruiting classes. Elko knows Texas A&M. I think they could be a sneaky team in the SEC. So out of the coaches you mentioned, I'd say Kurt Cignetti of Indiana, Mike Elko at Texas A&M.
Phil Steele's College Football Preview, available now at Books A Million and Barnes & Noble across the nation. If you're listening on the Odyssey app across the country, and of course his website is always philsteele.com. Two final quick questions for him, and here come the kind of the big questions here. In doing all the researching that you do, how about, hey, I'm just talking to the audience, Phil. How about this guy could call up 120 college coaches? Yeah, I get an hour with you. Who does that? Nobody. Just this guy. In doing all the researching, I'm curious, what conclusion this year about a team, a coach, conference, a player that surprised you?
I think some of the new head coaches I talked to, the situations that they stepped in, perhaps, you know, like a Kurt Cignetti at Indiana. I personally, prior to going over the team with Coach, you know, didn't really have high expectations for Indiana, so I think that did surprise me a little bit. But I think the big thing is that the coaches are adapting to this transfer portal, John. You know, the group of five coaches, when I talk to them, they basically say, hey, you know, no sense redshirting a kid. We're going to develop a kid. We're going to turn him into a star. Somebody's going to come and poach him. But the good thing for the group of five, they're getting a lot of players that have would have normally signed scholarships with Power Five teams. Now those openings are closing because everybody's going to the portal. So they're actually landing better recruits at the group of five. So I think they're resigned to that fact that that's the case. They'll get better recruits now. But once they develop them, they're going to get bought.
And Phil Steele, give me I know you don't gamble, but let's just say you did. You're at Mandalay Bay. We're sitting in the sports book. We finally bet. We're having a cigar and I don't even know if you smoke cigars or drink beer, but we'll just say we are. And I say, okay, Phil, you're putting $100 on who to win the national title.
Well, I'm going to go with Georgia. I do think they have the best team. You're not going to win a lot of money there. So let's go for a longer shot there, John. And I'm going to pick a team that's not even going to be in the top 10 at the start of the year. Watch out for the Utah Utes. You remember 2 years ago, they had a guy, Cam Rising, at quarterback, got to a pair of Rose Bowl games, played extremely well. They're loaded at the offensive line, loaded at the defensive line. They moved to the Big 12, which is actually a step down for the Pac-12 last year. The Pac-12 was one of the best conferences in the country last year. They've got Rising back. They've got a better backup back. They've got the line play. I think Utah wins the Big 12, gets to the playoff. They've proven they can play with the big boys. Kyle Whittingham's a really good head coach. So I'm going to put my safe money on Georgia because I think they win it all. But I'm going to go with Utah as my long shot.
And where, Phil, can the fans find the magazine?
I appreciate that, John. Once again, you get it at Barnes & Noble and Books A Million. Barnes & Noble actually gives you your... Or you can go to philsteele.com. When you go to philsteele.com, you not only get the hard copy magazine, we toss in the digital for free when you order there. So Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, philsteele.com.
Sports Radio 90, join the game from the Northern Kia Studios. Chris Thomas, top of the hour. Turtle will be here. Take you through till 5 o'clock today. Of course, I'll be back 10 to 2 tomorrow. And I want to thank all of you that called in. I want to thank, of course, Phil Steele for coming in and giving us his expertise on college football. 2 months from today, we will have college football. So we talk a lot of football. Tomorrow, we'll talk Braves and Falcons because today, coming up later on this afternoon, Max Fried against Paul Skeens, it will be game number 81. So the halfway point of the regular season for the Braves is today. And then tomorrow on the program, we'll take kind of a look at where we are halfway through the season and kind of look forward to the second half of the season and see what we've got. We'll get into that tomorrow. Also tomorrow, the Falcons, what CBS Sports Now says in a new article about Kirk Cousins. We'll get into that. Trust me, we'll get into that. And more as we count down to training camp, which is really underway because training camp is July 24 at Flowery Branch. Again, this year, as you know, I think we've said it enough, but we'll continue to say it. No fans at training camp at Flowery Branch. There will be two open practices, one at Second Year High, another at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But because of the ongoing construction, because it's just building out, unbelievable how much they're building up there in Flowery Branch. So no fans there. But 9 to 9 in the game will be there every day, morning, noon, and night. Every day for training camp, even if the fans aren't there, they're going to be there talking to the players, talking to the coaches, and getting you ready for the season. And, of course, July is the day after tomorrow, and we'll get into the 4th of July weekend, you know, next week, as you know. So my thanks to all of you. Again, varying opinions. Noel on the Atlanta Hawks had a slight little issue with the color tie. Only because he came in here and he's like, you know, I know you're a homer, but you got this all wrong. And then he proceeded to tell me everything that I talked about over the last 3 hours. I'm like, Tidy, did you listen at all to what I said on the show?
I experienced that a lot on Twitter. Like, if you go long enough, they'll just wind up circling back to what you said in the beginning.
I said, look, I'm on Team Trey, but are they trading Trey? They haven't said they're not. And so the rumor mill is flying all over the place because they haven't come out and said, you know what? They haven't come out, like I said, with the blackjack dealer and you know, wipe their hands and show their hands. They haven't said they're done. So is there another trade coming? Maybe. Is there a free agent coming in the next few days? Maybe. Will it be a game changer? Doubt it. So you're at this point in this juncture with a team that seems to be, this is how it seems, okay? When you the four players that you have brought in, you've gotten rid of DeJounte Murray, you've added two first-round draft picks, and you've added four players through trades in the, through a trade in the draft. Those four players, Risa Shea, Juricic, Nance Jr., and Daniels, those four players are all really young. That's like resetting the youngness. It's going to become suddenly a very young team again with guys like that. You still have to make a decision. You have four bigs on the team in Clint, Okongwu, Bruno Fernando, and, of course, Muhammad Gay. If you didn't see Muhammad Gay at the end of the year last year, there's a reason. Now, Muhammad Gay can still be a two-way player back to College Park. But there's a reason the Hawks are really intrigued by this guy because he came in and we went, oh, wow, okay, this guy's got some game. And same with Kobe Bufkin. By the way, I think Kobe Bufkin's got some game as a backup to Trey. I think they're not trading Trey because I think Quinn Snyder took this job with the desire of building a kind of around Trey Young in a manner that he wants to. Now, I think that Quinn Snyder views Trey Young. He's going to get a chance to coach Trey Young as just Trey Young. Okay, the team is just his. There's no DeJounte. There's no having to figure out, you know, two point guards here. It's just back to just being Trey's team, and Trey is the star. I think that's what they're going to do. But I could be wrong. They could be trading Trey. I'm not sure why they haven't come out and kind of said, you know, hey, listen, we're not trading Trey. I guess somebody pointed out, and it's fair enough, I think, Noel, that it was pointed out to us that you wouldn't say that only because, you know, what if somebody called you up and said, hey, we'll give you Giannis for Trey, and then you make the trade, and hey, I thought you weren't trading Trey.
Okay. Right, which is a reason I would stay out of that and just kind of play the free agent field as it comes up tomorrow. But I think I see what you see, John. I think they're going to finally commit to trying to build around Trey Young. So we would definitely see what that looks like with a coach just for him and a roster that's supposed to be built around him. I guess we will. I guess this is the beginning of seeing what that looks like.
Well, I will say that, you know, these moves so far have gotten you a bit younger. They've gotten you maybe a better, little bit better on the bench. I'd still like to see, you know, they need a third point guard to come off the bench who needs to be a veteran. Your version of Lou Williams. I think that they got to figure out that they got the four bigs, but they don't have a big. And so unless they're counting on Okongwu, you know, okay, he's going to take that next, you know, maybe. And by the way, they're seeing things, you know, they may be in practice going, hey, listen, nobody's seeing what we see from Muhammad Gay. I have no idea, okay? Neither do you. You're not at the practice facility. Quinn Snyder may be looking at it with his assistants and with the GM going, Muhammad Gay's got some game now. I mean, he's got Alex Saar in him. We got a, you know, a guy, because at the end of the year, he flashed. If you didn't see it in the last couple of weeks of the season, he got a chance to play some, and boy, there were times he looked pretty good.
Yeah, he did. It was almost like what you were hoping to get from Bruno Fernando once upon a time, even though he did return. That's kind of what you got at the end of the season out of Muhammad Gay. Again,
yeah,
a
lot of promise. They're like, okay, this guy's got some game. He's athletic. He can shoot. He can attack the rim. You know, I mean, a lot of what Alex Saar gives you. You know, so let's say that Alex Saar worked out for the Hawks. I can't believe that, you know, they, you know, there's no guarantee that if Alex Saar works out with the Hawks still wouldn't take him Risacher. They may just value him more. We'll have to see how this all shakes out. But at the moment, what am I expecting for the Atlanta Hawks? I expect they'll make another move in free agency or a trade to bring in some veteran help, one or two more veterans on the team. They may trim a little bit off the roster, but I don't think they're touching any of the principals at this point. I expect that Trae Young's going to be on the team, Jalen Johnson, Zachary Risacher. There's a reason that they traded into and up in the second round to get Juricic. He's going to be on the team. I think Bogey's on the team. Hunter's on the team. There's no reason not to get rid of Kobe Bufkin at this point. I think he's shown another guy that showed flashes at the end of the year. You know, that they said, okay, you know what? We can work with this. So, you know, I just think they have to figure out kind of the down post thing here. How's it going to stack? Is it Clint still? Is it Okongwu now? Is how does Muhammad Gay figure into this? Where does Bruno Fernando figure into all this? They got to figure out that kind of position here. But at the moment, I think it's pretty much dance with what brung you. I know we had a couple of callers, Noel, who said DeAndre Ayton, but at this point, I'd be really shocked if they went DeAndre Ayton, if for no other reason than it kind of flies in the face of what they've done so far.
Well, I think people are saying Ayton because they feel like we need a bigger big, and I do too. I feel like Okongwu was a good stretch five athletic big, but you still need to get a little bigger at the center position. So I think that's why people are really, really looking at Ayton. As far as a veteran player that I would love to see come in here, I don't know where the Timberwolves are with this particular player, but Mike Conley would be really interesting to bring in here as a veteran player.
Well, Ayton, here's the thing with Ayton, again, is that, you know, I mean, if you're going to spend a whole ton of money, which I'm wholeheartedly for, is that I think you spend a whole ton of money and you go into the second apron and the 50th apron or whatever the hell they have and stack it in the NBA, and you spend luxury tax money out the yang, is to win an NBA title. And so if you're going to do that and you're going to go deep into that luxury tax, which, I think they ought to do, is that right now or are we waiting another year for that to happen? My sense is we're waiting another year for that to happen.
Yeah, because I think they missed that window to buy all in. There was an opportunity, and you did something else to kind of patch and keep going. And now you're at a point where that didn't work. And so you're right. We're at this crossroads of, well, do we keep slapping duct tape on it, or do we just throw it out and scrap it and start all over?
Well, I think you can also make an argument that Jalen Johnson's growth as a player, that you'd still have trade for three. That you want to see what you get with his number one pick because you really value him. And it's really about those three guys. It's about, you know, Risacher and Johnson and Young. And, you know, those three guys kind of at the, you know, they have building blocks of the future here. And you kind of roll through it this year, let those three kind of become a, you know, a cohesive threesome. And then at the end of this coming season is when you make your big moves. And you make your big moves to go into free agency or trades or whatnot. And so, which is why it was important to get back into the draft again next year, you know, so you can help out and you really revamp. And we're just I'm just a year ahead of where they really are in terms of kind of revamping the franchise. And then you make a big bold move at the end of this coming season, which is fine, except now you're telling me I got to sit through this coming season and there'll be growing pains and all that kind of stuff. All right. So, my expectation right now is that that's kind of where we're at, and I think that's kind of where we're going to be, and I think this is a 40 to 45 win team, and that's where we are, and playing, here we come. That's kind of where I'm thinking.
Get the
now, maybe they have higher
out,
expectations, but that's kind of what I am.
Get the pom-poms out, John. 45 wins. Yay.
It's kind of where I am, you know, so... You know, maybe that gets you. Maybe you get lucky, and there's like five teams at 45 wins, and you get the number six spot. You know, I mean, okay. And so, yeah, we win all the tiebreakers. Oh, congrats. So, tomorrow on the program again, first half recap of the Atlanta Braves game number 81 is today. Remember, tomorrow morning, 11:30 first pitch. Tomorrow morning. That's right. You heard right. Not a day-night doubleheader. It's breakfast for baseball for breakfast. There, 11:30 a.m. start on Sunday morning because it's a Roku game. For those of you who don't know what Roku is, don't worry about it. If you don't know, it's not going to happen, you know. What's next, you know? Fire Stick game, I guess. Roku game tomorrow. Sling game coming up. All right. FUBU game coming up. FOBU, whatever it is. Whatever the hell. Not FUBU, that's a clothing thing. Anyway. Chris Thomas is next. Turtle, taking you 2-5. I'll be back 10-2 tomorrow with you. A lot of Falcons and Braves talk tomorrow right here on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from the Northern Kia Studios. Chris Thomas, top of the hour. Turtle will be here. Take you through till 5 o'clock today. Of course, I'll be back 10-2 tomorrow, and I want to thank all of you that called in. I want to thank, of course, Phil Steele for coming in and giving us his expertise on college football. 2 months from today, we will have college football, so we talk a lot of football. Tomorrow, we'll talk Braves and Falcons, because today, coming up later on this afternoon, Max Fried against Paul Skeens, it will be game number 81, so the halfway point of the regular season for the Braves is today, and then tomorrow on the program, we'll take kind of a look at where we are halfway through the season and kind of look forward to the second half of the season and see what we've got. We'll get into that tomorrow. Also tomorrow, the Falcons, what CBS Sports Now says in a new article about Kirk Cousins. We'll get into that. Trust me, we'll get into that. And more as we count down to training camp, which is really underway because training camp is July 24th. At Flowery Branch. Again, this year, as you know, I think we've said it enough, but we'll continue to say it. No fans at training camp at Flowery Branch. There will be two open practices, one at Second Year High, another at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But because of the ongoing construction, because it's just building out, unbelievable how much they're building up there in Flowery Branch. So no fans there. But 99 The Game will be there every day, morning, noon, and night. Every day for training camp, even if the fans aren't there, they're going to be there talking to the players, talking to the coaches, and getting you ready for the season. And, of course, July is day after tomorrow, and we'll get into the 4th of July weekend, you know, next week, as you know. So my thanks to all of you. Again, varying opinions. Noel on the Atlanta Hawks had a slight little issue with the color tie. Only because he came in here and he's like, you know, I know you're a homer, but you got this all wrong. And then he proceeded to tell me everything that I talked about over the last 3 hours. I'm like, Tidy, did you listen at all to what I said on the show?
I experienced that a lot on Twitter. Like, if you go long enough, they'll just wind up circling back to what you said in the beginning.
I said, look, I'm on Team Trey, but are they trading Trey? They haven't said they're not. And so the rumor mill is flying all over the place because they haven't come out and said, you know what? They haven't come out, like I said, with the blackjack dealer and you know, wipe their hands and show their hands. They haven't said they're done. So is there another trade coming? Maybe. Is there a free agent coming in the next few days? Maybe. Will it be a game changer? Doubt it. So you're at this point in this juncture with a team that seems to be, this is how it seems, okay? when you the four players that you have brought in, you've gotten rid of DeJounte Murray, you've added two first round draft picks, and you've added four players through trades in the, through a trade in the draft. Those four players, Risa Shea, Juricic, Nance Jr., and Daniels. Those four players are all really young. That's like resetting the youngness. It's going to become suddenly a very young team again with guys like that. You still have to make a decision. You have four bigs on the team in Clint, Okongwu, Bruno Fernando, and, of course, Muhammad Gay. If you didn't see Muhammad Gay at the end of the year last year, there's a reason. Now, Muhammad Gay can still be a two-way player back to College Park. But there's a reason the Hawks are really intrigued by this guy, because he came in and we went, oh, wow, okay, this guy's got some game. And same with Kobe Bufkin. By the way, I think Kobe Bufkin's got some game as a backup to Trey. I think they're not trading Trey because I think Quinn Snyder took this job with the desire of building a kind of around Trey Young in a manner that he wants to. Now, I think that Quinn Snyder views Trey Young. He's going to get a chance to coach Trey Young as just Trey Young. Okay, the team is just his. There's no DeJounte. There's no having to figure out, you know, two point guards here. It's just back to just being Trey's team, and Trey is the star. I think that's what they're going to do. But I could be wrong. They could be trading Trey. I'm not sure why they haven't come out and kind of said, you know, hey, listen, we're not trading Trey. I guess somebody pointed out, and it's fair enough, I think, Noel, that it was pointed out to us that you wouldn't say that only because, you know, what if somebody called you up and said, hey, we'll give you Giannis for Trey, and then you make the trade, and hey, I thought you weren't trading Trey.
Right, which is the reason I would stay out of that and just kind of play the free agent field as it comes up tomorrow. But I think I see what you see, John. I think they're going to finally commit to trying to build around Trey Young. So we will definitely see what that looks like with a coach just for him in a roster that's supposed to be built around him. I guess this is the beginning of seeing what that looks like.
Well, I will say that, you know, these moves so far have gotten you a bit younger. They've gotten you maybe a little bit better on the bench. I'd still like to see, you know, they need a third point guard to come off the bench who needs to be a veteran. Your version of Lou Williams. I think that they got to figure out that they got the four bigs, but they don't have a big. And so unless they're counting on Okongwu, you know, okay, he's going to take that next, you know, maybe. And by the way, they're seeing things, you know, they may be in practice going, hey, listen, nobody's seeing what we see from Muhammad Gay. I have no idea, okay? Neither do you. You're not at the practice facility. Quinn Snyder may be looking at it with his assistants and with the GM going, Muhammad Gay's got some game now. I mean, he's got Alex Sarr in him. We got a, you know, a guy. Because at the end of the year, he flashed. If you didn't see it in the last couple of weeks of the season, he got a chance to play some, and boy, there were times he looked pretty good.
Yeah, he did. It was almost like what you were hoping to get from Bruno Fernando once upon a time, even though he did return. That's kind of what you got at the end of the season out of Muhammad Gay. Again,
yeah,
a lot of promise.
They're like, okay, this guy's got some game. He's athletic. He can shoot. He can attack the rim. You know, I mean, a lot of what Alex Sarr gives you. You know, so let's say that Alex Sarr worked out for the Hawks. I can't believe that, you know, they, you know, there's no guarantee that if Alex Sarr works out with the Hawks still wouldn't take him Risa Shea. They may just value him more. We'll have to see how this all shakes out. But at the moment, what am I expecting for the Atlanta Hawks? I expect they'll make another move in free agency or a trade to bring in some veteran help, one or two more veterans on the team. They may trim a little bit off the roster, but I don't think they're touching any of the principals at this point. I expect that Trey Young's going to be on the team, Jalen Johnson, Zachary Risa-Shea. There's a reason that they traded into and up in the second round to get Juricic. He's going to be on the team. I think Bogey's on the team. Hunter's on the team. There's no reason not to get rid of Kobe Bufkin at this point. I think he's shown another guy that showed flashes at the end of the year. You know, that they said, okay, you know what? We can work with this. So, you know, I just think they have to figure out kind of the down post thing here. How's it going to stack? Is it Clint still? Is it Okongwu now? Is Muhammad, how does Muhammad Gay figure into this? Where does Bruno Fernando figure into all this? They got to figure out that kind of position here. But at the moment, I think it's pretty much dance with what brung you. I know we had a couple of callers, Noel, who said DeAndre Ayton, but at this point, I'd be really, maybe pleasantly, but I'd be really shocked if they went DeAndre Ayton, if for no other reason than it kind of flies in the face of what they've done so far.
Well, I think people are saying Ayton because they feel like we need a bigger big, and I do too. I feel like Okongwu was a good stretch five athletic big, but you still need to get a little bigger at the center position. So I think that's why people are really, really looking at Ayton. As far as a veteran player that I would love to see come in here, I don't know where the Timberwolves are with this particular player, but Mike Conley would be really interesting to bring in here as a veteran player.
Well, Ayton, here's the thing with Ayton, again, is that, you know, I mean, if you're going to spend a whole ton of money, which I'm wholeheartedly for, is that I think you spend a whole ton of money and you go into the second apron and the 50th apron or whatever the hell they have and stack it in the NBA, and you spend luxury tax money out the yang, is to win an NBA title. And so if you're going to do that and you're going to go deep into that luxury tax, which, I think they ought to do, is that right now or are we waiting another year for that to happen? My sense is we're waiting another year for that to happen.
Yeah, because I think they missed that window to buy all in. There was an opportunity, and you did something else to kind of patch and keep going. And now you're at a point where that didn't work. And so you're right. We're at this crossroads of, well, do we keep slapping duct tape on it, or do we just throw it out and scrap it and start all over?
Well, I think you can also make an argument that Jalen Johnson's growth as a player, that you'd still have trade for three. That you want to see what you get with his number one pick because you really value him. And it's really about those three guys. It's about, you know, Risa Shea and Johnson and Young. And, you know, those three guys kind of at the, you know, they have building blocks of the future here. And you kind of roll through it this year, let those three kind of become a, you know, a cohesive threesome. And then at the end of this coming season is when you make your big moves. And you make your big moves to go into free agency or trades or whatnot. And so, which is why it was important to get back into the draft again next year, you know, so you can help out and you really revamp. And I'm just a year ahead of where they really are in terms of kind of revamping the franchise. And then you make a big bold move at the end of this coming season, which is fine, except now you're telling me I got to sit through this coming season and there'll be growing pains and all that kind of stuff. All right. So, my expectation right now is that that's kind of where we're at, and I think that's kind of where we're going to be, and I think this is a 40 to 45 win team, and that's where we are, and playing, here we come. That's kind of where I'm thinking.
Get the
now, maybe they have higher
out,
expectations, but that's kind of what I am.
Get the pom-poms out, John. 45 wins. Yay.
It's kind of where I am, you know, so... You know, maybe that gets you. Maybe you get lucky, and there's like five teams at 45 wins, and you get the number six spot. You know, I mean, okay. And so, yeah, we win all the tiebreakers. Oh, congrats. So, tomorrow the program again. First half recap of the Atlanta Braves game number 81 is today. Remember, tomorrow morning, 11:30 first pitch. Tomorrow morning. That's right. You heard right. Not a day-night doubleheader. It's breakfast for baseball for breakfast. There, 11:30 a.m. start on Sunday morning because it's a Roku game. For those of you who don't know what Roku is, don't worry about it. If you don't know, it's not going to happen, you know. What's next, you know? Fire Stick game, I guess. Roku game tomorrow. Sling game coming up. All right. FUBU game coming up. FOBU, whatever it is. Whatever the hell. Not FUBU, that's a clothing thing. Anyway. Chris Thomas is next. Turtle, taking you 2 to 5. I'll be back 10 to 2 tomorrow with you. A lot of Falcons and Braves talk tomorrow right here on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.